Said I'd provide some updates to you when I had them. So I do have an update. Terry McLaurin has reported, and we're very happy about that. He'll start the training camp on PUP for his ankle. So on the business side, AP and the guys are still working hard with Terry and his rep on the business side of things. So while on PUP, just like we do with, you know, the other guys, he'll be working with the trainers, you know, to get back.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of this show wants to know. That's the law firm Kondorian Murad. They're going to help you to draft a will, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Terry McLaurin, hold in day two. Can you believe we're still here? July 28th. McLaurin and the Commanders, who have had this harmonious, wonderful relationship for years, it's gotten very acrimonious, Danny.
It's gotten to this point, and the previous iteration of this, the Ron Rivera and the Marty Party, it didn't get to this point. And I thought that they were kind of screwing it up. It was similar to, I guess, a call that Mark had, I think, before the break, where I said they're letting all the other receivers go in order, and they probably should have been out front of this thing. I thought they were botching, and they weren't it. They got it done. It was all harmonious. He went to, you know, only skipped a couple brief things in the offseason calendar, but it didn't get to the point where he was missing training camp time. They got it done in advance of that. This is a much more hard line taken by the team, and my main interest is to find out that motivation. They haven't told anybody anything. And I want to know, what's their reasoning? What's their cause? Is it they don't believe in the player the same way? Is it we're just not going to do this with anybody? I would love to know the thinking here from the organization.
I think there's probably a lot of answers to that.
Yeah.
One of them is they clearly do not think McLaurin is as elite as a lot of fans do. Another thing is they know the aging at the wide receiver position is a reality that is almost impossible to fight back against. That is a losing battle. And I think there's a sneaky element to, I think they know where they're going offensively in the grand scheme of things right now is to not be wide receiver dominant. Doesn't mean you don't need good wide receivers. Right. And if you have one, you should keep it. That's why I want to keep Terry around. But see the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, a running quarterback. When you've got a quarterback that runs as much as Jaden Daniels is going to, you take the passing attempts and you drop them off significantly because pass plays can become scrambles and runs way more often. And now you're divvying those throws up to a bunch of receivers, including tight ends and running backs. And so you just don't need to necessarily pay the same amount to a wide receiver one, maybe. See what Baltimore's done for years and years and years. And that might be part of their philosophy. You know, Josh Allen in Buffalo, similarly, they've moved on from Diggs and Gabriel, and they've kind of gone that route with more Khalil Shakir-type guys who they pay a little bit, but they're not paying the huge money to. And I wonder if that might be part of the philosophy. We'll get to the phones in a second, 800-636-1067. Danny, what's your direct answer to the question? When will your tone shift on McLaurin? And I'm asking you this knowing you're already kind of pro-team in the debate.
But it's I'm pro-team with a, go ahead, Terry, do your thing, buddy. Like, I have no animus. That shifts the second preseason game. On that Monday nighter against Cincinnati, I believe it's the 18th of August. If we're still doing whatever this is, it's a pretend ankle or whatever kind of the song and dance is, I'm now going, all right, dude, this is now turned into a temper tantrum. You've made your point. You've done everything you possibly could. You're now hurting the football team. I need you on the field for the reps. I need you on the field with your teammates. I need you to be part of this thing. Please be in. Everyone else is bought in. And the reason we loved you for so many years is because you bought in at a time when it was harder. Now it should be easier to buy in because it's good. You have a good coach. You have a good quarterback. You have a good offensive coordinator that stayed remarkably. You have a good front office. You have a good owner. The facilities are better. Everything is what you fought for is here. I'm sorry the future isn't what you want it to be. This year can be really, really special. Please don't get in the way of that. That's when I will turn. Second preseason game.
I'm going to go even further than that. I'm going to go right after the final preseason game, that week of August 25th, basically. So the final cutdown day, I'm guessing, is going to be around Sunday the 31st, a week before the opener. Monday, you're at work with 53 guys all on the practice field. The first. That's a hit-the-wall time for me. He needs to be practicing, or I'm going to be really, really shifting how I feel about this whole thing. Because now, it was cute and fun while it lasted, right, while you were trying to get what you needed, but you've now gone too far. But I'm going to say the previous week, sometime end of the week, 28th, 29th, Thursday, Friday, before the opener, 10 or so days out so you can get into football shape. That's the line I'll draw. Let's go to Tris, who's in Richmond, listening in the capital of Virginia. You can listen on AM 910, FM 105.1. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Come in.
First of all, thank you for taking my first call a couple weeks ago and welcoming me. I got 3 points I want to say really fast. You guys are talking about JD5, Terry. So I was going to make that my third point, but I will make it first just to kind of make it seamless. He went from holding out to holding in. I think that's a bit of a concession. He wants to be thrown to by Jaden. I mean, I think that's kind of something of a concession. He wants $30 million money and probably 3 years. I think he's going to get 2 years, but not three. And then he's going to regroup after that. So the other point is, I'm really tired of Jaden being compared to Lamar. I don't think he's a comp to Lamar. I think he's a comp to Mahomes. He's already, after his first year, a better passer than Lamar. Like, he's a target passer. He does run like Lamar. But he also runs like Mahomes. He runs better than Mahomes.
Well, not really. I mean, Patrick Mahomes ran for 300 yards last year. Daniels ran for 900. There were two guys over 630. It was Lamar at 915 and Jaden at 891. They're the only guys in the league that run as often as they do or as effectively as they do. So it's a pretty clear comp. Now, I don't think anybody's suggesting they're the same guy. And to your point,
okay,
everybody would acknowledge that he's a better passer
yards.
Than Lamar. What's that?
Didn't Jaden run for more than 800 yards?
Yeah,
almost 900.
891, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'm just saying that I just feel like that it's a dismissal of Jaden's ability to comp him. Like, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson sucks, but Lamar Jackson, the majority of his value is his running ability. He's a good passer. But he's not as good a passer as Jaden Daniels.
Right. I don't think, thanks for the call. I don't think when people are comping the two of them, they're suggesting that they're equal in every part of their game. Lamar, by the way, had a 36-touchdown season as a passer where he led the NFL in passing. So it's not like that. And last year, by the way,
he had 41, for God's sakes.
41 touchdowns, which is, there are a lot of guys that are Hall of Famers that have never thrown for 40 touchdowns in a season. So it's not like he can't throw the ball, but I would agree. I think Jaden Daniels is more accurate. I think he's a more natural passer from the pocket. I would take him throwing the football already, sight unseen, from what I've seen over Lamar. But the comp, I think this is fairly easy to get, and people understand this. The top two running quarterbacks in the NFL are Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. If someone hears that and they think it's a slight against the passing, I'm not really sure what to tell you. These are two different conversations. It's like saying, Danny, you're a really funny guy. And he goes, yeah, but I'm a serious radio person. I'm like, yeah, but you're a funny comedian. He's like, but I know sports too. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just trying to give you a compliment.
Right.
Like, those two guys run at a number of attempts and at a yardage that nobody else in the league does. And they scare the daylights out of defenses in a comparable way, in a way that nobody else really does. Guys that run a lot, like Kyler or Hurts or Allen or Richardson, just looking at the rushing yards last year, even Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Drake May, Baker Mayfield. Those are more scramblers, a lot of them. Some of them run in power. But Lamar and Jaden Daniels, they do it in a very, very different, electrifying way.
I would say so. I mean, Jalen Hurts has a similar number of rush attempts, but everybody knows that ain't the same as what Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels are doing, right? He's more goal line carry, fourth and one. Now, athletic guy, can run a little bit, but not to the same degree those other guys. I think it's okay. Yeah, you're right. There's this stigma with it where you say a guy that's an athletic, effective running quarterback, we somehow have to pretend that means he doesn't know which hand to throw with.
Well, I remember when I covered Griffin, it killed him when people would comp him to like Kaepernick in that 2012 season and other guys. And I remember a text one time where he told me, like, I don't know if he had heard on the radio or if it was a conversation we'd had, but he said, hey, the comp I want, like that I like, I want people to use is Aaron Rodgers.
Is Aaron Rodgers.
And he's like, I don't like the comp to Russell Wilson. Or I don't even remember who it was, but it was a running quarterback of that era. And he's like, I didn't like that. Like the comp, I think I resemble Aaron Rodgers. And it just, it seems like it grates. I've never heard Jaden take any issue with that. I'll bet you if you say, hey, you remind me a lot of Lamar Jackson, he'd be like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, the multi-time MVP.
that guy should have won a third MVP award this year.
Yeah.
You know, potentially. So I don't think he would take offense, but I have seen that Commanders fans do. You know, sometimes I don't get that necessarily. But back to the topic at hand and Terry McLaurin. It's a good phone call, Tris. We appreciate it. Let's go to Dickie in Arlington. Dickie, what's up?
How are we doing, boys?
What's up, man?
At first I thought, you know, they're going to pay him. It's just, you know, the game that they play. I'm starting to get a little annoyed. And today was kind of the backbreaker for me. I'm one of the biggest Terry McLaurin fans in the world. I know you guys are too. He is not a top 7-8 wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, 10's debatable. So the fact that this report comes out that he wants more money than DK Metcalf, CD Lamb, I think that's ridiculous. At this point, we have a team to build around. We don't. This isn't the old Commanders, Redskins, Washington football team, whatever you want to talk about. We have a team now that we need to build about, and all these couple million dollars, they start to add up. That's the difference between Von Miller, Austin Eckler, all these veterans that want to come win a ring with Jane Daniels. You can't get them now because Terry McLaurin wants $34 million. I'm sorry, Terry, but you got George Pickens, who's a free agent next year. There's 20 options you got.
Appreciate you, dude.
I'll say no to George Pickens, but I respect
you. But yeah, the point stands,
I think. The point.
But yeah.
By the way, just comparing the two, DK Metcalf in his career has averaged 76 catches for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. McLaurin has averaged 80 catches for 1,118 yards and 7 touchdowns. So he's averaged 10 more yards basically per season, and McLaurin has. He's averaged a little bit less in terms of touchdowns and a little bit more, like 3 or 4 catches more in terms of catches. But, I mean, that's very negligible. You know, right, for guys that came in together, it's almost the exact same productivity, and that's McLaurin having been a little bit more durable. Like, Metcalf missed 2 games last year, a game the year before. So if you play those 3 games, not to hold McLaurin's durability against him, you know, maybe the numbers are a little bit more in his favor. And the big key, again, is Metcalf is 27 years old right now. McLaurin is 29. And McLaurin actually turns 30 before Metcalf turns 28.
And that outlier touchdown season from McLaurin really changed some of those career averages, too.
True. But the touchdowns, like, as much as I don't go overboard with how, like, being pro touchdown for him last year, I don't hold those against him either because those are so dependent largely.
Oh, totally. He probably should have averaged around 7 for his career, and he finally got there with a violent regression in the opposite direction.
But I just find it interesting that is a really good comp. Is McLaurin has been every bit as productive, and so if they were the exact same age, it would be so easy. I think you take the Metcalf contract. You add $100,000 or, you know,
like Stingley Sauce Gardner did.
Exactly. Yeah. You add 0.2 and you go, where do I sign? Mm-hmm. It would be the easiest work Buddy Baker, the agent for McLaurin's ever done. But because of the 2-year age gap, that is a significant difference. And the team is advocating and arguing that. And I'm sure the agent is going, we don't care. Because as I told you earlier, McLaurin's camp is saying experience, not age. Years 8, 9, and 10. Look it up. What did this guy get paid in year 8, 9, and 10? What did this guy? That's what they want to know. Same as DK Metcalf, by the way. What did he get? Years 8, 9, and 10. It's not about age to them. Let's go to Ron in D.C. What's up, Ron?
What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
All right. Well, this is a situation. We've been down for that for like, what, 20 years? We've been messed up since like 90s, what, 92, 93? You know what I'm saying? We done had a bad owner. We done ran through a couple coaches. I mean, I think it's time for a change. You know what I'm saying? I think we should pay Terry. I mean, at the same time, I think he should wait, but I think we should pay him. I mean, he's the top guy, you know what I'm saying, in here. He's the top guy. I don't have no problem with paying him. But
you're saying because you think he's going to sustain this level of play for 2 or 3 years, or just based on the fact that he was so good for so long he's earned it?
I think he was so good for so long he earned it. And he's been there through all the struggles. You know what I'm saying? We don't think about it. We had a coach that didn't even know how to coach.
Which one? I actually don't know who you're talking about.
There could be so many options. It's a good phone call. Thank you. You get in trouble doing that. You might get one of those. And they are in position financially and with Daniels not on the books for huge money yet, that if they want to give out one of those contracts, I think they can. McLaurin would be the guy to give it to, probably. Yep. Camp coverage on The Fan. I was out at training camp today. You'll hear my interview with Dietrich Wise on Grant and Danny coming up at 6 o'clock. All of our camp coverage is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenryWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We do have our poll of the day right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. It is McLaurin-related. Our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll every day is always a lot of fun. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best-in-class service and experience. If you're moving, check out Metropolitan Moving and Storage.
Terry McLaurin has reported to camp to turn his holdout into a hold-in. At what point do fans become concerned that the hold-in is detrimental to the team? Your answers: days, weeks, start of the regular season, or never. Days, 26%, weeks, 35%, start of the season, 22%, and never, 15%. So, long way of saying, the most popular answer is weeks. That's the kind of the, you know, one of the more longer term answers, preseason games, etc. But the long and short of it is, it tells you the sentiment is still very much pro Terry. When you start adding up, you know, days and weeks, start of the regular season, 80% of the people going, it's not on him at this point. And I think that's probably the most popular for a reason.
Nick, listening in Richmond, former training camp home of the Commanders. What's up, Nick?
Hey, yeah, just kind of wanted to discuss, you were talking about the negligible differences between Terry and DK. And, you know, I was looking into it. DK has like 9% lower percentage, like catch rate. And his tipped ball percentages that turn into turnovers is one of the highest in the leagues for a wideout. So I don't really understand why Terry is considered lesser of a wide receiver when he had a career high catch percentages. And he's been with us for so long, they just got to pay the man. And one other thing, your guys' show, you know, I just have to say.
Appreciate the call.
Oh, that's a good bit. I bet you that was on purpose. Do you think he did? You think he did that on purpose?
I mean, 1,000%. Are you kidding?
What's he going to say? Is it good?
There was a guy like a long time ago who called in, I thought, to compliment you or something, and his phone dropped out or some. There was some bit like that, yeah, that he might be throwing it back to. Or maybe he wanted us to just sit here waiting to know what could he have possibly said. The only thing I'll say about Metcalf comparing him to McLaurin is he does not get held down nearly as often as McLaurin. Like I mentioned this on Friday's show, you were out. Terry McLaurin had the same number of games under 25 yards this year as he had over 100. He had 5 games over 100, which DK only had 3. This is just this past season that I'm looking up. But Terry had 5 games under 25 yards. Metcalf only had 2 such games. And, you know, his bad games were mostly like, you know, 53 yards on 3 catches. One of the reasons his catch percentage is way lower is I would venture to guess he runs deeper routes if you look at ADOT.
Yeah, so this year ADOT was actually comparable, but over their careers, DK Metcalf's much more of a deep threat, or has been.
I would imagine it's substantial, too, you know, if you dug into it some years, where the depth of target is very, very different. Terry is running a lot of the crossers, the drags, the bubbles, the stuff at the line of scrimmage. And so, yeah, the catch percentage should theoretically be higher. But I'm not even here to sit here and argue that McLaurin's not a better player than Metcalf. I would rather have McLaurin for one season this coming year than Metcalf.
I would too.
The problem is, who would you rather sign a 4-year deal with right now, this moment? 27-year-old DK Metcalf or 29-year-old Terry McLaurin? And that's the issue. That's what the Steelers answered, and that's what Washington is, in their own way, answering as we speak. Speaking of guys that may not be in D.C. for the long haul, I do want to get into the possibility that the Nats trade their ace pitcher, Mackenzie Gore. Could the fan base withstand that after the Juan Soto deal and losing so many stars, Rendon, Harper, among them, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber? Now you finally got a really good front-of-the-rotation pitcher. If they were to deal him at the deadline this year with a couple years of control left, could that be the straw that broke some fans' back? We'll get into that on The Fan.
Now the windup, the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a breaking ball. That's 13 strikeouts. A new Nationals opening day record for Mackenzie Gore. He'll depart the mound to a standing ovation on the first base side. Six, one-hit, shutout innings for Gore against the Phillies.
Only six pitchers in Major League Baseball have more strikeouts than Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals this season, who was an all-star. He's got a 3.5 ERA, and he is cruising toward what could be his first 200 strikeout season of his career. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The trade deadline in Major League Baseball is coming up on Thursday. The Nats have already made a trade. It was a good trade, by the way. They flipped Ahmed Rosario, their backup infielder who hits lefties well off the bench, to the New York Yankees for a 26-year-old pitcher named Clayton Beter, who's a former second-round pick, who has really good stuff. Throws 96 miles an hour with a good breaking ball. He's in AAA as a reliever right now. He's a former starter. But he's a guy that in the minor leagues has had huge strikeout numbers. He just walks too many guys. And if you could fix that, you could actually add, at worst, a really good major league reliever, and at best, maybe a guy you could slide back in to the rotation. But Danny, it's exactly what they should be doing.
100%.
Rosario's a free agent to be. He's on your bench. This is a lost season. So you flip him for a lottery ticket, teenager in the Dominican Summer League who's hitting the cover off the ball, and a 26-year-old big league ready reliever, and you're going to see Beter this year. So like the more of that, the better. And some of the other guys they could trade that aren't bolted down that are free agents to be include Josh Bell, Mike Soroka. They could dip into that pool if they want to. They also have a veteran that is under contract for next year that is tradable in Nathaniel Lowe, and they'll shop him and possibly move him. But what I'm more interested in, Danny, because we know Kyle Finnegan, we know Josh Bell,
yep,
and I would even throw Soroka into that mix. Like, they're very tradable, and there's no reason not to. There's not much of an argument not to trade those guys. What about Mackenzie Gore? And I was on with the Junkies this morning from training camp, and even on the sideline, talking about Terry McLaurin and the Commanders, they brought up Gore a few days ahead of the deadline. Because this is, it's not just about him, is it? You know?
Right.
This is so much.
In a vacuum, you could have a great sports conversation about it.
Totally.
This ain't a vacuum.
So much bigger than that, though.
Mm-hmm.
He is this lefty that they got in the Juan Soto deal. And the whole point of the Juan Soto deal was to reboot the organization for your next wave. And if you're not keeping the guys that you got when you traded Soto for those guys, someone could say, and David Aldridge did to me today on the sideline of practice, then what in the heck is the point? Like, what are you doing if you can't keep the guys you get for Soto? But in the case of Gore, he's turned into a top 10 pitcher in the division, you know, a top 20 pitcher in the league, probably. He is an all-star. He had an unbelievable year. He's got really high upside. He's not a true ace, but he's a number one for you and a number two probably for a World Series caliber team. And there's going to be a lot of people that would want him. And if you traded him right now, they get three postseasons out of him. They get this playoffs plus two more full years before he hits free agency. If the Nats keep him, they would have that ability to have him for the rest of this season and two seasons after that. But it doesn't look like they're close to being a playoff team next year. You might get one postseason out of him if you start spending money right away and everything goes well in his final year. And so the idea for me is to flip him now to get the most return possible. If he wasn't advised by Scott Boras, I wouldn't say this. If I didn't think he was leaving immediately in free agency as soon as he hits the market, I wouldn't say this. But I do think he's going to, and I think you get 33% more on your return now than if you wait until this offseason and you trade him with two postseasons left instead of three. And so it's simple. I'm getting the best package possible. I don't care if it's in the division or not. I'll trade him to whoever wants him for the most that I can get back. And I think that would be a really good haul of prospects, including maybe a close to big league ready, high-end pitching prospect. And I think they should do it. It's painful. But the complicated part that I brought up, that it's not just about him.
Right.
The fans that watch.
How many kicks?
Rendon and Soto and Harper and Schwarber and Turner and, so, you know, I think I named them all, but whoever else,
right,
walk out the door. Now you're going, you got to be kidding me. The next group we're doing this with as well, and you're going to lose some people that are going to the ballpark and paying for season tickets.
Yeah, you are Pirates, Royals, Marlins, Rays without the success of the Rays. Yeah, I mean, it's not just in a vacuum, because from a baseball sense, the team isn't close. What I would do in a very, very basic way is, what's my target year? When am I going to be good? If I have players that aren't going to be here when my target year arrives, I'm trading them. That's, you guys would hate me as a GM, but so that would include Nathaniel Lowe. That includes guys that are even beyond this year, because I can get something. My target year is not this year, and it's not next year. It's probably 2027. If I've got guys that won't be here for that, no matter how good and young and fun and ascending they are. I know Mackenzie Gore's not resigning, the same way I knew Juan Soto wasn't resigning, so I'm getting what I can. The best time to trade Mackenzie Gore, never. The second best time is right now. So yeah, that's something that I would do. But knowing what this fan base has already gone through with the rep that I've established as this organization, and none of that is Mike DiBartolo's fault, by the way, specifically. I mean, he could turn in the report to his superiors and they can accept it, reject it, whatever. But the way the organization is going and is gone, it looks like it's just another move about frugality. It doesn't appear to be a baseball move. It is a good baseball move, but how many of those can you take that doesn't end up you retaining somebody, right? A good baseball move sometimes is signing Daniel Murphy or acquiring a player that would start on a first division team and not hope that Paul DeJong fetches something at the trade deadline as you rejuvenate his career from the bargain bin DVD section. So, you know, to me, this from a baseball perspective is 100% right on. Just knowing what this fan base has gone through, though, I don't know how they could do it.
So I think you have to do the right thing, and you got to let the chips fall where they may. And you got to count on the fan base to respond when you win. And this helps you to win sooner. I think you always have to make the right decision, whether it's Terry McLaurin with Adam Peters right now, and people think you're wrong, and they're screaming at you as you're walking to the practice field, and they're telling you what they would do and how they should do it, and we're talking on talk radio. We don't have all the information. We don't know what they know, right? And in this case, from a baseball standpoint, I think it's no different. You've got to make the best decision for your org. They know internally how good of a chance they have to keep Mackenzie Gore in a couple of years. My opinion is, from what I've heard, it's very, very slim. And if that is the case, then to me, this is a no-brainer. Will season tickets drop off? Yes. Will some of the people that are super plugged into the Nats swear them off? Absolutely. But if you flip, I'm just making this up, but Mackenzie Gore to the Mets and you get Jonah Tong back, their top pitching prospect, in a deal with Jet Williams and a couple of guys, then when Tong is Gore in a couple of seasons, people are going to watch him. Nobody's going to never come back to the team if you're competitive and you're winning. So you always have to do the thing that gives you the best chance to win. And I think in this case, this is it. I would trade him. I would trade him sooner rather than later. It's more likely, in my opinion, that you move him this offseason with 2 years left of control, and you'll still do well at that time. But I would try to trade him right here and right now at this moment. By the way, breaking Nats news, and this is an absolute gut punch. Did you see this?
I just saw it.
Travis Sikora, who is the team's top pitching prospect and who is maybe the best pitcher in minor league baseball, one of the best overall prospects in the game, is in need of Tommy John surgery. He got hurt and left to start a couple of weeks ago, had not pitched since. The team had said it was very minor. I'd reached out to him and talked to him briefly, and he was hoping that it wasn't a big deal and be right back on the mound. But after more imaging and whatever tests have been done, the team has informed the media today that Travis Sikora, the number one prospect for the Nationals and one of the best prospects in baseball, will have Tommy John surgery, which is a full year, which means he's not back on a mound until at best, you know, at the end of next baseball season. And then you got to wait the whole offseason to get him back. So you're looking at like 2027, where you start him maybe and get him to AA in the first half, and he gets to the big leagues later that year, but now you're on an innings restriction. So really, the TJ thing costs you 2 full years of development.
Now that there's a good time for this, but this is especially that. Once you get this far along in the season, you're now basically saying next year is a wash. All it is at the end of the year, you're starting to play some long toss and rehabbing. You're not game ready. This is a development stunter. He'll still be great. I believe in it, but just you've added so much time to the timeline.
I mean, you look it stinks. And it's clockwork for the most part until it's not. Look at Cade Cavalli.
Yeah.
I mean, Cade Cavalli had his best outing at spring training now 3 springs ago.
It's 3 years ago, man.
When he just came out, was lights out, looked like a number one starter, got hurt at the end of a 6-inning masterpiece, and he hasn't pitched in the big leagues but one time in his entire career still because he's never gotten back. And he's in AAA, and he's getting close, and he's coming off a good outing. He's dealing with some mental stuff, I think, with the recovery as well, but that's all part of it. You know, the scar tissue that happens, is that a pain? Is that an injury? Something going on?
Question everything, man.
But I'm crestfallen. I mean, it's a kick to the shin. It's a bat to the face. It's the worst. One of the most exciting things about this organization, if you want to rank 1 to 100, like literally, in my top three is Travis Sikora's upside and the fact that they may have had a legitimate ace starting pitcher in their system for the first time since Strasburg. and he now needs TJ. Now, Harleen Susana got hurt earlier this year and avoided it. He's back on the mound, but he's had arm issues this year. That's the other of their top flame-throwing pitching prospects that throw 100 miles an hour. But this year can end whenever it's ready to.
Yeah.
I mean, what an absolute disaster it's been. Rizzo fired, Davey fired.
James Wood slumping out of the lineup tonight. Like, take me away.
look behind us in the wake of wreckage this year. It is unbelievable. Thank God for James Wood. Thank God for him and the season he's had. What else is there? Dylan Cruz has missed more games than he's played in now with his oblique. He's been out forever. He's finally starting a rehab. But he got off to a slow start and then hit three homers in five games or whatever and immediately hurt his oblique and went out. Like, just a fiasco.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Really fun year.
Good God.
Yuck.
We've got no food. We've got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Pretty bird.
Travis Sikora, TJ. Oh, Nats fans. There aren't many fan bases that have it worse than you right now. This year, in this moment. Oh, by the way, like ownership group that's just checked out and not taking care of you. Come on, man. This is brutal. But all the more reason, honestly, where the system with Sikora is pretty meh again.
Yep.
Without him, it's bad or not good enough. It's all the more reason why a Gore trade to help replenish things makes even more sense to me when you're as far away as they are. And I think they're closer than it appears in the moment, but that's if they spend. If you go get a power bat, if you get an infielder, if you get a starting pitcher, then maybe you could be in the 83-win mix or whatever. Does anyone think they're going
to
do that?
I do not. Yeah, so to me, they're very far. And I look at I always come back to, what's my target year where I think, you know what, pieces line up, we're going to be pretty good. It ain't this year, certainly. We've got some data points on that.
Yeah.
And it ain't next year, given the spending limitations that are self-imposed. Maybe in 27, which is why I'm saying...
There's a work stoppage that year, oh, by the way.
Well, yeah. And so that's why I'm saying I'm not looking for anything over the next couple of seasons. I'm looking then, and Gore doesn't fit into those plans.
Wow. All right, let's get you some non-Terry McLaurin camp headlines from Ashburn, where the Commanders are training. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I'm going to finish the show. I'm contractually obligated to finish the show. And Grant McLaurin will not just sit in that chair next to Danny and watch him work, okay? But just know, I don't want to finish the show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go home and feel bad for myself.
You want to do a little wallowing?
I want to eat something I'm not allowed to eat
right
now. Travis Sikora, the number one Nats prospect whose minor league games I watch on MLB.TV like he's freaking the ace of the big league staff. Tommy John surgery, man. Could something go wrong this year for the Nationals?
Yes.
Then it did.
Uh-huh.
Name a thing that would have helped them. It didn't happen. Unless it has to do with James Wood, it didn't work out this year. God, does it suck
to
be a Nationals fan
in
this moment. Oh, what a gigantic pain in the ass. You know why high school right-handers have never gone first overall in the draft, by the way? Because if you're a high school right-hander who throws 100... you just bake in Tommy John and miss in 18 months. So it was going to happen. It was inevitable. We all know, eyes wide open. Do you have a power righty you drafted out of high school who pumps 100? Then he's going to have TJ at
some
point.
It's going to happen.
Let's just get it out of the way.
God.
And let's come back in 18 months and see where we're at.
See, what if this had happened, I don't know, the timetable wouldn't make exact sense. But if this had happened like a year ago, it's not as devastating. But what he did is he went mountain climber style. With a jetpack on, like Iron Man, like shooting up the draft up the board there, where he became the number one prospect, not only for the Nationals but one of the top ones in all of baseball. Not just some guy where this happened early and now you got all this time. You got that little tantalizing little dangle. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, look at this guy that might be here in 2026 as part of the rotation. Look at this dude that's shoving on everybody. That's just destroying and dominating hitters at the minor league levels as a 20-year-old. Nope, you get nothing.
All I want to say to Nats fans is I'm sorry. This is not fun. The few, the proud, the elite of us that keep showing up, that keep going out there, that keep watching games, that keep turning on the Nats. I was actually talking to a DA about this, David Aldridge, of The Athletic, and of course, Hall of Fame Turner Sports broadcaster at training camp today. And we were just talking about the Nats and baseball. He's like, the thing about baseball is the time commitment that you make. And his reference was essentially that a team needs to reward you with a competitive product in sports to make it worth your while. But in baseball, they really need to, because it takes so much time. So how many games have the Nationals played this year?
105, I think.
Are they at that many?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. So I would say of 105, I've probably watched all nine innings of at least 95 of those games. And I'm just being, it's a conservative guess, but I've watched some of probably 102 of those games or whatever. But if I just round it to 100 and say I've watched, you know, nine innings, 2.5 hours of baseball, basically, it's 250 hours of my life that I've committed to the horrendous 2025 Washington Nationals. 250 hours, Danny. That is 10 and a half days.
That's a lot of days.
Of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching a bad baseball team run into outs, not be able to field ground balls, do really stupid, little league worthy stuff just over and over again. What am I doing with my life? Why am I doing this?
Yeah. Everybody has these moments as a fan, right? Where with the football team, we're like, you go, well, maybe if Dallas implodes and okay, I could kind of see this. And then there's a big game and they lose by 40. And you just go, what am I doing? What is the point of all this? How could I possibly, for a single second, think a Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, or Vinny Serrato production, or this leftover piece of hot trash that we're trotting out a quarterback is going to possibly make a difference for anything sustainable? I am wasting my time. This one feels a little bit time-wasting. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, what have you done but pour yourself into the franchise and into going to these games and tracking the minors and you know, watching MLB TV on grainy footage like it's a Zapruder film.
And for what?
For what?
My like, you know, nightly tweet of who's doing what in the minor leagues.
Just a wiffle ball bat to the junk, dude.
I mean, what a stupid waste of time, fatso loser I am. Like, seriously, what a loser.
I can't tell how many times I've been there, dude.
You are one pathetic loser.
No offense.
I care about this team?
I know, dude.
Why?
I know. This is. I'm not going to talk you out of this one either. You need to wallow in this one. All right, because I'm telling you, the only way out of this thing is to just...
Not an exaggeration.
No, I know, dude.
No fewer than 30 times today, I've like looked at my phone to see how much further until first pitch. Like 8:10 tonight, they're in Houston against the Astros. I can't wait to get home. I got to get the kids to bed in time to be on the couch so I can set up just so, get my little Coke Zero out, and sit there and watch the game. What am I doing?
What are you doing?
Why am I excited to watch this team lose to the Astros tonight? And if they win against the Astros, who cares about that either?
Yeah, did that help anything?
Like, what am I doing? But it was okay because I got Travis Sakura coming. I got James Wood.
It'll be fun. I always like watching them in Houston. I have some good memories. That is fun for me. I'm going to be watching that.
You wish you were in that press box eating that ice cream sundae that you ate. That was the size of a small village.
Yeah. Well, you remember the move was I got the Cookie Witch from, I went outside the press box to an actual stand. I got correct. I got the chocolate chip cookie, ice cream cookie chip witch thing. Then went back into the press box and topped it with other stuff to the point of Dave Jagler's disgust.
He's talking about a World Series, people. 2019 World Series. If you spend, you can win, people.
How long ago was that? I know the number of years, but think about how long ago that was.
I was going to tell you we're coming up on about 6 years ago.
But you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I get the number.
7 years ago.
But this was so many lifetimes ago.
I'll tell you what it was. It was a Travis Sakura, Tommy John ago.
Yeah.
Certainly was.
Yep.
It was a Mike Rizzo firing ago.
Yep.
It was a Davey Martinez dismissal ago. It was a Dylan Cruz never-ending oblique ago.
I'm sitting there going, I hope they let Juan Soto play after he's been able, like, riding a bicycle at home because he's in isolation because of this, like, pandemic thing.
It was a bunch of draft picks that didn't pan out ago.
I know they only had one good month in 2021 because Kyle Schwarber turned into Babe Ruth, but this will turn around.
It was an Elijah Green can't hit his weight in single-A ball ago.
Oof. That's still
all I want.
Still going.
Is a competitive entertaining, worthwhile baseball team.
She's going to have to wait a little.
I've been waiting.
Yeah. Even then, I can't guarantee you with the current state of things.
They got to trade Mackenzie Gore, man.
Do you really think interim GM and everything will do
it? The GM thing, I don't. First of all, I think Mike DiBartolo is going to be the GM long term.
I do too.
Start with that. Second, he knows more about the system than anybody else.
Well, of course he does. But will they let him do that?
Yes, because he's been here the whole time. He was on the phone with Rizzo with the Padres on the Soto deal. Like, when Mike ran the show, his worker bee was DiBartolo and Shalaba. So, like, Rizzo would be like, hey, what do we think of this guy? And they would pull up the file and say, here's what we think of this guy. Mm-hmm. So, if you would let Rizzo make the deal, there's no reason not to let DiBartolo make the deal, in my opinion. But I don't think they're going to make the trade, because it would involve, like, six people that are important getting on the same page about something important.
This is my point.
And you got to kick that can down the road a little further, probably. Yeah. Off-season, I could see them doing it. But I'll be steamed up if they trade him for a package of, like, three or four players. And by the way, I love Mackenzie Gore. My guy. If they trade him for a good package and they get a silly pitching prospect that was just in the futures game back, I'm right back in.
It's all it takes.
I'm fired back up. Just
one little carrot in front of my guy.
Let's fuel the tank. Let's go. What a chabingus.
Yeah.
Just a disaster. Travis Sikora, Tommy John. Breaking news on the fan. Dietrich Wise. Really enjoyed my conversation with him. This will put me back in a good mood.
There we go.
You guys will get to hear that convo after he came off the practice field all sweaty. Next on Grant and Danny.